Click clack, I was fighting with Shaq. Long about a... Oh, what were you doing out there? What happened? Are we recording video on this or no? No. I love one for the microphone. What happened? Why are you on the floor?
I dropped my I dropped the my monitor, my headphones, the inside, the little rubber thing popped off. It was under the desk.
And then you were under the desk. That you tried to get out and it didn't make it. Oh god, we got a cold open for this episode. Just indiscriminate laughing for just a thump and then God, because if we had the video recording, you could play it back to so me sitting down. Say click clack, I was punching on Shaq, and then you pop up, and I was like, oh, and then you look so scared, just a fear, fear in your eyes as you went back down. Oh, this is gonna be hard cut to the intro music from this. Oh.
This is Western Information. Western Information.
Anyway, this is Wasted Information.
It sure the fuck is.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Jimmy.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Alright, let's get started. Or do you need a minute?
Hey, what you drinking? What you drinking today?
Yeah, we can't. It seems like you're drinking a little too much. God, then don't fucking eat shit standing up a foot.
Hey, so what you drinking?
I just poured it. I was looking for local ones. I found one. I tried it. I didn't like it. That's why I always buy two beers. The one I've been waiting to get cold here is from Dewclaw Brewing Company in Baltimore, Maryland. It's called Sour Me Unicorn Farts. It's a glittered sour ale. Ale brewed with fruity cereal and edible glitter. Is there glitter in this?
There's glitter in there? Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck. Little bitty glitters.
It sparkles.
I don't know what it tastes like.
Your beer sparkles. Does it taste like sparkles?
I haven't tasted it. I literally just poured it.
You gotta taste
but,
it.
But on the back it says, well, it's donut plus. So yeah, it's a donut plus beer stein. I guess they work with Diablo Donuts because that's on the can. Must be something in Baltimore. We'll have to ask our friend in Baltimore about that.
We got two friends in Baltimore.
Oh, fuck. Anyway, this can says, pony up for a taste of this glittered sour ale brewed with a trio of fruits, fruity cereal, and a swirl of edible glitter. Based on the flavor profile of the famous Unicorn Farts donut made with fruity cereal, this beer is medium-bodied with big fruit notes. That's what they called me in high school. Slight tartness plus a hint of... Oh, no, next one. Slight tartness plus a hint of malty biscuit. That was my nickname in high school. Malty Biscuit. A fantastical collaboration between Dewclaw Brewing Company and Diablo Donuts. Sparkles may settle, swirl, or gently invert before pouring.
All right. Shake up your beer before you pour it.
I already poured it and shake it. Fucking I've seen some. Everywhere. They're settling. Yeah, that's really sour. But not in the spoiled way as that other one, but like an actual like tart sourness. It's not extremely cold because I just got it 2 hours ago. Yes. Nice. I don't get any notes of fruit cereal, but it's very, yeah, it's a very citrusy tartness.
I like a good sour in the summer. It's good. And it's been like 95 degrees the last like 3 days in a row. So,
craft be cherished, rules be damned.
You know what else I like in the summer? A good seltzer.
Me too. I'm a seltzer boy.
So, have you tried these yet? You don't know what I'm
I don't know what it is.
Asking you if you've tried them yet.
Probably not.
Social Club Seltzer. Have you seen these?
On your Snapchat, yeah.
Yeah.
Snapchat, so, yeah.
On the Snapchat, yeah.
You gotta say yeah after every time.
What?
I said Snapchat, yeah, and they go, Snapchat, yeah. And then you said Snapchat, yeah. Why would you say yeah? That'll be our new shirt, Snapchat, yeah.
So yeah, these are the Social Club Seltzers, hard seltzer cocktails. And I would say they're not necessarily hard seltzer, they're cocktail-flavored hard seltzer. That's the way I would put them. As a note, they're definitely made by Anheuser-Busch. So like we try and go local, and we try and go like good like craft local breweries and stuff most of the time. But these looked interesting, and I decided I would try one.
It's local to somebody.
Yeah, local to people in St. Louis.
How are they?
Yeah, so they come in three flavors. I'm currently drinking the Old Fashioned. There's also a Sidecar and a Gimlet. The Gimlet one straight up tastes like gin. It tastes like a, you know, Gimlet. It's like gin and citrus. It's pretty good. The Sidecar is really good. It's like an orange citrusy one. It doesn't really taste like a Sidecar, but like it's good.
What's a Sidecar?
A Sidecar is usually cognac and orange liqueur with some like lemon juice. So like something with brandy and citrusy, orangey,
okay,
lemony. And it's kind of what it tastes like. I mean, I didn't really get much of the alcohol flavor. Like the Gimlet was like, that's supposed to taste like gin. I mean, essentially all these seltzers are just malt beverages, right? Like they're not actually made with the actual cocktail. Like I think the regular seltzers are the same way, like the White Claws and the Trulies and everything. They're just malt liquor. But anyway, this is pretty good. The Old Fashioned's good. It does. It stands up to the description. I'll read the description real quick here. It says, so yeah, these came out in 2020, so they're new. They're 7% a piece, so they got some kick to them. Like you drink them, you're like, all right, I had a cocktail. Only 150 calories. Introducing Social Club Seltzer, where classic cocktails meet refreshing seltzer. Start your night with a new twist on the classic Old Fashioned, a refreshing seltzer with notes of stone fruit and orange flavor and a hint of smoky oak aroma. So, yeah, not bad. Yeah, so what did we say we were talking about today? Oh, we're talking about cars and stuff, right? Like, specifically our cars, not, like, cool cars, but cars.
Because, yeah, we've got to preface that we are not car guys by any means.
Oh, God, no.
We know how to fix little things on there. Like, we can change oil, we can change a tire.
I've done that. I've changed my own alternator before.
I changed my brake pads with help.
I've done that, yeah.
But as far as actual issues...
Yeah. Which is sad, because my dad was a mechanic for quite a while.
Yeah, I remember when I learned that, it's because I came over, and let's start off with my first car.
Ooh.
Was my 94 Pontiac Grand Prix. That had a slew of issues, one of which was a slight oil leak to where it would drip on the engine block. And so if I went over like 60, 65, which meant, yeah, it would just start smoking. And driving to your house, having to take the bypass, it would just smoke. And then you were like, my dad's a mechanic. Like, he can check this out. You really need to get, I was like, dude, no, it just does that. And that was the history with that car was it just does that.
I totally forgot that you started with a Pontiac. Your first car was a Pontiac.
Yeah.
Because my first real car was a Pontiac. I split the minivan with my mom for like a few months when I first started driving.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Count
that.
Driving your parents' car doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah. My first actual car which was a gift. I mean, it was my mom's old car. They had like gifted it down to me when she got the van. It was like literally just sitting in our yard though, but they gave it to me. My full-time car for the first time was also a Pontiac. I had a 1991 Pontiac Bonneville, and boy, was she pretty.
Yeah, big, just big steel boats.
Yeah, she was a boat. Deep burgundy, the soft gray seats. Yo, I like actually slept in that backseat multiple times. It was so big.
Nice.
It was massive. I felt like I could literally drive anything after that. Like, I would jump in my dad's pickup truck and it was no different after driving that car because it was so big. Which it wasn't even like, I think it was just a big car for the time too.
Well, yeah.
Think about it, we were driving that in like 2006, 2007. Like,
yeah, the late 2000s was stuff started getting smaller. That a lot more right. compacts were coming out. So ours were, and a lot more stuff was being made with plastic. Our shit was just hard metal.
Yeah. Just American steel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked the car. And I would have kept driving it for quite a while. Probably. I probably would have drove that thing through high school if I
hadn't. Someone drove through the car.
Yeah. Someone drove through me. That's the best way of putting it.
Had it been like a newer car with plastic and stuff, granted, it might have had more safety features, but then also it might have collapsed into you. Yeah,
I probably would have been hurt way, way worse than I was. Like, I didn't walk away with serious injuries. Like, they took me and they put a couple, you know, glued my forehead back together, but it didn't even get stitches. They literally just glued it back together and a little scratch because the mirror came out. But anyway, yeah, that was I was literally on the corner of our high school turning to about to go in the parking lot. It was winter-ish, I think. But yeah, turning across traffic and the light had been yellow. As it turned red, I was already in the middle of the intersection, so I had to go. I had to clear the intersection because I didn't have enough room behind me to back up. So I was like, well, it turned red. I have to go. And the guy oncoming ran the red light, T-boned me, essentially went through my car. He went through half of my car. The passenger side door was pushed up next to me. Thank God. So I used to drive our friend to school every day. He used to sit in that very passenger seat. Yeah, luckily he was not with me that day.
He definitely would have died.
Oh, yeah. Like, it would have been really bad.
Because, yeah, that sat in your parents' garage for a while, just actually going to see it to, like, get a feel for, like, what actually happened. Like, where the metal stopped and where you were to, like, how close it was actually, like,
yeah.
Could have did something to you compared to if somebody was sitting in that passenger seat.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, anyone who's ever actually, like, gotten close to, like, as the light was changing and just, like, gunned it to get through. Essentially, that's what that guy did. So, yeah, he might have only been going, like, you know, 30, 35 miles an hour. But then he stepped on the gas and essentially went into my car. So, I mean, he threw me into a foam pole. So the back end on the other side was smashed because of the foam pole. Yeah, it wasn't a fun way to get rid of your first car. Like, I feel like you get rid of your first car. It should be, like, a ceremonial, like, you suck and you broke down and get rid of you.
At least, like, it's a big story.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a story to it, but yeah, just sold it for a couple $100 scrap, essentially.
Well, yeah. Yeah, mine was just a piece of shit.
Didn't you go with me when we sold that for scrap?
Probably.
There was one day where we hauled, like, a bunch of metal, like, scrap stuff. Yeah,
that's when you almost died from the basketball hoop.
Yes.
Yeah, your basketball hoop that almost killed you that same day.
Okay,
it was essentially a 12-foot steel girder buried 3 feet into the ground, and we used a sawzall to cut through it, and then we lassoed the hoop, and he goes, "Okay, pull it," and so I pull it, and it cracks and starts tilting. And he goes, "Oh, wait," and goes to pick something up, and it was coming right for his fucking head. And I just started screaming, "Get the fuck out of the way, go, fuck, go. And then you moved, and it hit the ground and flattened the hoop. And I was like, that could have been you.
Hey, I learned. Which, Swanks, I feel like we've talked, this is not the first time we've talked about this story on here.
But yeah, but with my car, there was a lot of issues. Well, just to talk about the car, the best thing about it is it had a heads-up display for the speedometer on the windshield. So for a 1994 car, that was amazing.
That was futuristic, man.
Yes, I loved it. But then also, it got 13 miles to the gallon city, but 26 highway. So it sucked in the city. And right when we got cars, when gas was like spiking into the $3 for the first time. But the passenger window didn't go down. So if it was a hot summer day and you called shotgun, you were in the worst position in the car because that was the only window that didn't work.
Was yours a coupe or was it a four-door? I don't remember.
Four-door.
Did you have the like child safety windows in the back where they only went down halfway?
I think they went down like three quarters of the way.
Yeah, mine went down like halfway. It was awful.
But what else was there? Yeah, it was just a boat. I was missing a mirror.
Let's see, by 94, they were selling cassettes, right?
I had a cassette deck. I had my dad's, I rifled through my dad's cassettes, and the one that just stayed on loop was Tommy by The Who, the rock opera. So that's all I listened to in that car for the most part. Because I didn't have an antenna, so the radio didn't work. I couldn't pick up any, I couldn't even pick up U93. Like, I had no signal.
Which is like, yeah, the strongest signal in South Bend. They're like central. Yeah. I remember, so I had a retractable antenna on mine.
I probably did at one point, and then it just didn't come back.
Yep. And then I just didn't have a radio. I did the same thing. That's when I had to start listening to cassettes. I had a few, I remember at one point I found one that was my mother had made someone, like, she was karaokeing with friends one time, and they recorded four songs together on cassette.
So that was just in your car?
Don't ask me why. Yeah, well, yeah, it was. Because she was driving that car before I was. So.
I imagine Dance With Somebody was on there.
No, it wasn't. You would think. The only one I ever remember is...
you gotta find that cassette.
Yeah, we do. we'll play it. That'll just be one episode. We'll just play my mother's old...
That'll be our theme song. Oh, that'll Jesus. Be the theme for the show is your mom singing.
No, we can't do that because one of them was a Beatles song.
It sounds too close to the real thing.
It does not. I don't remember what... Oh, goddamn, what song was it? Oh, it was Yesterday, I think.
Oh.
Was it? Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, my God. I remember what... It was Hey Jude.
Oh, because Jesus.
Because I remember they were drunk when they were recording this.
Of course they were.
They get to the one part, and it's just, Hey, Judy. And they're just yelling in the microphone. It was a good one. We'll play it for everyone, actually.
We need to get that, rip it to a CD, stick it in Marla's jukebox. But, Oh, but that quick tangent off the car story, talking about finding a cassette. My cousin, when he was real, my younger cousin, when he was really little, he's playing out in the yard. He's over on the west side of town in the old Polish neighborhood that is just kind of ghetto now. He was like 8, maybe, just playing in the yard. And some guys, some old, could have been teenagers, could have been in their 20s, didn't know. He was just out there, and they drove by and they threw a CD at him. Just like chucked a CD at him. He's like, what the hell? And he like picked it up and then like gave it to his older brother, who then played it for me. The only song I remember off of it was a song called Suck a Monkey Dick. I don't know if they played it, but it was like just this really bad music, and then it's like, Suck a Monkey Dick. It's like, what the fuck is this? He's like, I don't know. Some guys threw it at my brother. Oh, that was hilarious. I've scoured the internet for that song, and I assume they made it themselves.
God, I remember a family friend one time. He was in like a metal band, but it was like my parents' friend's son. And they're like, oh, yeah, you should check out his music. And so, like, in my mom's van when we were riding around as kids, there's just this fucking metal band. Like, every now and then, it was called, like, Blood In, Blood Out. And they just fucking... They're just screaming the whole time. Like, and don't get me wrong, like, I can listen to some metal stuff. Like, there's some good stuff out there, but, like, this was not it.
Yeah.
It was rough. They randomly were like, what'd you think of it? And they're like, it was good. You know, not my taste, but it was good. But in my second car.
We didn't talk about how mine went away.
Oh, yeah. How did yours go away? I forgot.
But yeah, so passenger window didn't go down. Oil leaked in the engine. Well, the passenger door would the lock would freeze in the winter. So it either freeze closed or freeze open. To where I'd either have to donkey kick it open or anyone could get into it, which is how I got my backpack stolen with a notebook and a Latin textbook. Yeah, so, and then, yeah, at one point I didn't have brake pads, all that good shit. I got hit coming out of, or leaving school. Some older woman hit me coming out of the parking lot and drove off, blamed her daughter when we called the cops and they found her. Jesus. So her 15-year-old daughter with no license got a slew of fucking tickets. For a hit and run, for driving an uninsured vehicle, for driving without a license. The mom got tickets for uninsured vehicle, allowing her daughter.
Shitty mother.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the type of woman that would hit and run someone. But going on, it just kept chugging along. It was a Frankenstein of a car. I was driving home from work. I worked at a department store at that point. So I was like 20, 25 minutes away from my dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And my brakes weren't working well. Like, I was having to really jam on the brakes. As I found out later, there was a hole in my brake line. So as I pressed on the brake pedal, brake fluid just sprayed out.
God.
So that was a nightmare of a drive home. It's like I had Taco Bell in the front seat. I remember specifically because they just come out with the XL Chalupa. So I was excited to eat that. And it's sitting in my passenger seat, and I'm like both feet jammed on the brake pedal. I'm like, okay, I can see my dorm from here. I'm like two blocks away.
God.
I'm like five car lengths behind the next car. I'm like, all I gotta do is just coast up the hill, get to a parking spot, and then call my dad. And then as I'm having that thought, I get rear-ended by a girl who also didn't have insurance.
God.
But she was watching. Or she had looked over her shoulder. There was a student had just gotten pulled over. And so she was looking at the cop car and then slammed into the back of me. And so I'm laughing hysterically because it scared me. And at this point, being that it was a cassette, I had a cell. It wasn't a cell phone dock. It was a iPod dock.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the cord that came out?
I think so. Something similar to that. But yeah, so I had like my own music playing through the radio. I just remember having music playing, getting hit. My iPod starts skipping. And then all of a sudden On Some Chrome by 3-6 Mafia started playing. And then I was just like, what? I was not listening to that. Where'd that come from? But then she was like almost in tears. And then her friend that was in the car with her just kept making fun of her the whole time. And then the cop came over and was like, yeah, you just saved that guy over there a ticket. And like, really all that happened to my, like her, she was in like a Sunfire and one of those little cars. And so her car was smashed to hell and my bumper was just hanging off a bit. And so he's like, can you get it home? I was like, yeah. And I just drove it back there, like still with the busted, what's it called? Brake line.
I don't know. After that accident, my brake line started spraying everywhere.
Oh no! My insurance looked at the car and they're like, "We're not fixing this. Your chassis is bent." Yeah, and I got $1,100 because this is my sophomore year at school, so most of my friends didn't have cars yet.
We had a similar experience with my wife's car when we moved out to New Jersey. It was her second car at the time. It was one she had driven for a while, like through college and first few years out in New Jersey. We were planning on getting rid of it anyway, but we were driving it back one time. It was nighttime in Pennsylvania. It was kind of like there was construction or something going on the road. It was kind of stop and go on the highway. And the guy behind us gets rear-ended by a bus and it throws his truck into our car. And like, so it was like a chain reaction, just three in a row. And luckily we didn't go forward in the other one. But really, it was only like a little dent in our bumper. And we're like, all right. And like, we got a quote and they ended up paying us for it, but it was a few $100s. We're like, we're not even gonna fix this. We're getting rid of this car in like 6 months. So we just drove around with a little little nick out of the bumper, and we got like a few $100 for it. And we're like, all right,
nice,
I'll take that.
Oh, because that's when the woman that hit me on hit my door. I didn't have brake pads at the time. I didn't know because I was stupid. I didn't know about cars.
Didn't have brake pads.
Pretty much, no. Like, and my dad's mechanic friend was like, "Dude, I've seen records thicker than your discs. Like, this car is a liability." Jesus. But the money we got to fix the door, he just popped the dent out and then used the money to fix the get me new discs and brakes. When it broke down, I had to take it out in Lafayette to the dealership, or it got towed to the dealership for them, for like the insurance to look at it and stuff, or whatever the nearest garage was. But when they totaled it, I had to go get my shit out of it, like all the just bullshit I had in the car, which they had put in a box for me. But I didn't have any friends with cars yet on campus. Like, nobody like
walking
had
back home with your box of stuff.
Oh no, I had to take a bus. I had to drive the city bus 30 minutes across town to go get a box of shit to catch the next bus.
Jesus. Hey, at least they box up your stuff for you. When I got in to my accident, my car, because I had to go in an ambulance to go get glued together, make sure I didn't have a concussion.
Oh, I remember this.
Essentially, the police towed my car, and it was some shit because, all of my stuff was in the car, my wallet, everything was in the car. Luckily, our school resource officer took the wallet, so he had, my ID and everything with him. So I just had to go see him and get it later. But all of my other stuff was in there. They wouldn't even let me access the car because it was essentially in an impound lot. Even though it wasn't my fault, it was actually ruled a no fault, which was the stupidest shit ever. Because technically, we both ran the light, and they're like, "Nope, it's a no fault." I was like, "Okay." We also had both had the same insurance, which is shitty. So the insurance didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, insurance doesn't want to have to pay their own customer for something a different customer did.
So they're just like, "Nope, nothing." Whatever. But yeah, I had to wait forever to get all my stuff out, my backpack and everything, all my stuff for school. I was in high school. But anyway, after that, my second car was much better. Kind of. So my second car, it was a Nissan Maxima, and it was that grandma tan gold color that all your grandparents' car.
Was that 2002, 2003?
I believe it was a 02. Yeah. I don't actually remember. When I got that car, it had 250,000 miles on it. And I paid $200 for it.
Oh,
and you say,
damn.
Hey, how did you pay $200 for that? It's because it was my wife's uncle's car. who had bought the car from her father, my wife's father.
Yeah. That car lasted a minute.
Yo, when I stopped driving that car, I wouldn't even say it stopped. I didn't total it. It didn't crap out. I just stopped driving it.
I
drove it another 2.5 years. I drove it through college when I was in Chicago. I took it there.
No, you didn't just drive it through college.
Junk around that thing.
Yeah, you let fraternity brothers take it from state to state.
Oh yeah,
driving through tolls and not paying them.
Yeah. It was essentially a fraternity house car at one point. It went through a lot. I think I had almost 310,000 miles when we stopped driving that thing on the original engine. And it was still driving pretty good, and some alternator issues, stuff here and there. Went through a couple tires on it just because. Mostly, I just curbed the car. One was a really bad storm, and I curbed it in Chicago. That was real bad. But
wouldn't be the last time you curbed a car.
Oh, it was the first of many, many times I curbed a car. I've done it three or four times.
Yeah, and that one, so you basically just gave up on that car.
My dad looked at it one day, and he's like, probably about due for a new car. He's like, I'm going to start car shopping.
Yeah, because I drove you around for a good week or two looking at cars and stuff.
There was a point, something did go wrong with it. I don't, it wasn't anything big.
It was just the the 1800th thing that's gone wrong with it. And it's like, do we want to keep putting money into it?
A little thing, and it just wasn't even like putting $100 into it. Just wasn't worth it at that point. So I literally drove it to the scrapyard and was like, hey, here's the title. What do you give me for it? He's like, $350. I was like, that's more than I paid for it, George.
All right, so my second car, again, how our paths aligned.
Oh, also, I didn't plan that one out. The scrapyard was only like a mile away from my house. Didn't plan how I was getting home, so I walked home. With a $350 check, though.
So yeah, how our car paths aligned. We started with early 90s boats of Pontiacs.
Yep.
Then you got a busted Japanese car from a family member. Mm-hmm. Technically.
Yep, yep. Well, no, it wasn't family then. Family now.
Yeah, from an uncle. I got mine from my aunt, a 2000 Suzuki Grand Vitara 4x4. I had a love-hate relationship with that because there was things I really liked about it. We initially were paying them, from what I was told by my dad, like we were paying them, making payments, and they got it like just out of the winter. Because my car went down in October. I didn't get it till like Thanksgiving. So I went a month of working a half of 25 to 30 minutes away from my dorm, having to take buses to work for a month. Oh,
Jesus.
Took a cab home a couple times because the bus didn't run that late. My boss took me home a few times. And that's part of where I hate asking for rides. So I got the car from my aunt, driving it, it's fine. And then I'm like, like I would notice when I was driving back and forth from South Bend to West Lafayette, the brake light would like flash on and off randomly. So I text her. I was like, does that happen? Like, what should I do about that? She's like, oh, it's fine. It does that. I was like, okay. And then it was like, when I brake, it's starting to make like a growling noise. She's like, oh, they were like, that's just when like snow gets in it. It should be fine.
That doesn't like, sound right.
I didn't.
I feel like nothing should make it that wasn't. Sound
got to the point where it wasn't snowing. It was doing it. And I'm like, I remember this. This means my brake pads are bad. And I'm still young. I'm away from home. So I don't have like my dad right there to help me take. So I don't know what anything is in Lafayette or West Lafayette to do things.
Yeah.
So I take my, at the time, dorm neighbor, later roommate, to work on like the upper side of town, and it was a nightmare. Like we were terrified. Like that was like damn near the last straw. I was like, this thing isn't gonna stop. And we get him to work, and then I had to drive back to my dorm. Had he gotten out of my car 3 seconds sooner, I would have gotten T-boned in front of my dorm.
Oh god!
I was coming back. I started, like, I looked both, like, I was at an intersection with four stop signs. I started going, and a guy blew the opposite stop sign and just,
Jesus,
like, right in front of me. And I don't have brakes at this point, so I barely got to stop. But, had I left 3 seconds sooner, if that, he would have blasted my driver's side with me in it. But I was like, man, every time I've had brake issues, I've gotten hit. this is the one time I didn't. So I had to drop like $400 on new brake pads, new rotors, and calipers.
What finally did that car in?
Well, before I say that, the one thing I loved about it is it was a 4x4. So I could switch it to four-wheel drive and back to two-wheel drive. So that winter, we had that huge snowstorm in South Bend where we had 3 feet of snow overnight. I was flying on the roads. Nothing could stop because it was a light car, but four-wheel drive. Yeah. So it wasn't getting buried in the snow. I was driving on ice like it was nothing, driving through town, watching people stuck in the snow. told my sister, her when she worked at a place, they wanted her to come in, and it was like a horrible snowstorm. She's like, I don't think I'll make it in. Like, she had a Mercury Mystique at the time. And then I was like, let me go around town and see how it is. And I'm like, don't drive your car because you're going to get stuck. And you know how it was at my house going down the road. It was just like a slight decline to like the intersection there in a neighborhood.
There would have been no stopping there. Like you just slid through.
I get home after my fun trip bouncing around in the snow and the ice. Her car's down the hill on the left side of the road, like just in a pile of snow because she tried to drive it and then immediately slid off. So we had to try to push that up the hill on ice and we couldn't get it. But yeah, that car just eventually, like after the break, I didn't really have issues with it besides the, like we talked about in the happy hour, I had the cracked muffler that made it sound like a muscle car. And then I got a reference to like, or a referral. It's like, oh, go to this place. You can get a new muffler. I was like, oh, okay. It's like, does having a cracked muffler affect the driving performance? I'm like, well, no. Like, fuck it, I ain't paying to fix it. Because, like, I had to pay $400 working for minimum wage at a department store again, at the time.
Just, couldn't you have just taped it up?
Maybe. I didn't care enough. but at the time, like, I'm making minimum wage at a department store. So I'm like, why? Like, I didn't have the money to pay the $400 to fix the brakes. Oh, because on that is like apparently the payments to my aunt just kind of stopped after that. So I think we ended up paying like $1,600 for it.
Yeah, that seems like enough.
But so I'm driving. I'm a delivery driver with it. So I'm wearing it out like a motherfucker. Eventually, I'm working under the table or getting paid under the table, delivering for a sushi place. Under the table is a very I'm working thing under a table.
Getting paid under the table. I mean, you might get paid the same, but working under the table,
add that to my list.
It's a lot tougher on you.
Yeah, I have a note in my phone for merch, and working under the table is gonna be one. Snaps chat. Yeah, the potatoes were struggling, and two halves of an old idiot. But all right, so I was getting paid under the table at a sushi restaurant to deliver. To the point where after it was the weirdest job to quit because I wasn't on the books. And I was like, just don't call me anymore. It was like trying to break up with someone. And they're just like, okay, but can you work Thursday? It's like, no, I will not work. I'm done here. Okay, but we need you to work Thursday. It's like, no, that's not how it works. But I was driving and like the engine just started making this bad like rattling noise. Apparently my timing chain broke. So what happened with that, talking about old cars, I had gotten to Jay's apartment and I had to borrow her minivan. If you remember that minivan, and I had to finish my day driving in that, which was also a piece of shit.
Jesus. Yeah.
So, and then
is this where our cars aligned after this car?
Yes.
Yeah, after I walked away from the junkyard with the Maxima, eventually I found a car, and I got mine first.
Yes.
So I found a used 2008 Pontiac G5 GT, and it was the weirdest. I mean, it was a good little car. And I've had it until, I had that car for how long? Jesus.
Up until last year is when you got rid of it.
I got rid of it like a month ago. I got rid of it like 3 months ago, 2 or 3 months ago. Like during the COVID pandemic, I just donated that car.
Okay. before you moved.
Right before we moved from New Jersey to Kentucky, I got rid of that car. Yeah. But during the same time, you got yours.
Well, I got mine later because that happened. Yeah. Well, I went to a dealership with my dad because that was in January when I got that. I remember it was snowing because I took a picture of it at Walmart and some guy in a big diesel, like beat up diesel truck tried to like pull up right next to me because he saw me taking a picture, thought he was going to like ruin the picture. It's like, I don't care. Just posting a picture to show people that I got a new car. But I go to a dealership in town and they do the run your numbers and like, they're like, what are you looking for? I was like, I'm just looking for something. Because I'm a delivery driver, so I want something reliable that's got decent gas mileage. Because at the time, being a delivery driver, doing 20 miles to the gallon in a Suzuki like that was not good on the wallet. Yeah. So I was like, I need something with better gas mileage. First one she pulls up a Honda CRV. She's like, that's probably not going to be great on gas. And then she's like, ooh, we got a 2009 Pontiac G5. I was like, I'll try that. And I was like, hey, I like it. So I didn't have the GT, but I had it was nitrous blue metallic.
Mine was a dark navy blue.
But nitrous blue metallic means in certain lights, it's purple. So sometimes my car was purple. Like at dusk, my car was straight purple.
The best things was when you and I would roll up together. Like we'd drive up somewhere, meet somewhere, and park next to each other in matching cars.
Yeah. That's why we never both coupes, by the way.
Yeah, a little too.
But we never, at one point when you had moved back to South Bend, we had played around with the idea of me moving back and then us getting a place together, but we would have been two single males with matching cars and to each have a small dog. And it's like, people would think things about us if that was the case. Think it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, nowadays. But we definitely would have been the gay couple on the block to everyone.
I mean, not that there's anything
wrong with it. And it's like, but I was just insecure because you had the slightly better one. I just didn't want to be the bottom.
Yeah, that's fair. And then, I'm trying to think. So, after we got in touch with my wife ended up taking that Pontiac G5. She was driving that one for a while. After we got
because she had the Altima.
Yeah, we sold her Altima. That was the one that got in the accident. We sold that one. She was driving around that G5 until a few months ago. And then, we bought a new 2017 Subaru Crosstrek. So, yeah, that was the best thing we ever did, the little Crosstrek. Got loaded up with stuff. We threw the kayaks on it. It was the first adult purchase.
Yeah.
Paid it off in 2 years, which is fantastic. Love not having a car payment.
Oh, dude, it was the best when I paid off my Pontiac.
Oh, yeah.
But then I had an alignment issue to where my front tires were wearing down way quicker, but I had neglected it. So then I kept getting flats. So at the time I'd went to the dealership I had bought it at, I was on my way to Dairy Queen, so I'd pulled in the dealership because I saw some trucks I wanted. They had Ford Rangers I was eyeballing. Yeah. I was like, let me look at that. And then I went to drive through, and then I started I got low tire pressure thing, and I'm like, fuck, I got to go get air in it. So I drove to go get air in it. I get out of the car and I look at also the computer was messed up to where it would say LRL. Or it'd be left front, left back, right front, right back. Those weren't correct. So it said left front. So I go to put air in that and then nothing changed. And I walk over to the left or to the right front, the passenger side, and it is completely flat. And I'm like, I drove on that. So then I'm sitting there in a gas station. Oh, because our friend that worked at a soda distributor gave me several cases of this prickly pear Mountain Dew, which was dog shit, but she just gave it to me because I back in the day it was if you want to get rid of something, I was like, I'll take it, I'll figure out something to do with it. But I always end up throwing it out before I got into the habit of just throwing everything away. So I had a trunk full of this, so I'm sitting there at the gas station throwing this shit away in the dumpster so I can get to my donut to put on the car. So I get that and I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I have a tire place I could go to. I could spend another $100 to get a new tire again. Or I could just go back to the dealership and just get a new car. I have title in hand. So I just went to the dealership. I was like, what do you got for me? And they happened to be doing the $2,500 minimum. Yeah, $2,500 minimum trade-in.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's this time or it's never. Or this thing's gonna break down on me.
Shit, you got more for that than I did. I got $1,500 for mine.
So then I ended up getting. Well, I almost didn't get it. I drove a few. I drove a 2017 Altima. I drove a Ford Escape, which was really nice. And I drove. Mm-hmm. I really liked what I got. I got the Chevy Malibu, 2015 Chevy Malibu, because it was a big car. Because as big as I am driving in the Pontiac,
yeah.
I have a fat ass and giant thighs. So when I sit, if I'm sitting up straight, I'm way taller than I actually am. So sitting in a car is an issue. So I'm like sitting on my tailbone the whole time I'm driving that Pontiac. So I had some, I was getting like back issues from it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that was a tight one for me, and I'm not a big guy.
Every car I've been in, I have to put the seat to the floor. That's the first thing I do. Because, yeah, the initial Pontiac, the Grand Prix, was huge. So, yeah. And I was smaller then, too. So I fit in it. But then I get the, I drive the Pontiac for however many years, like 7 years. And then I'm like, I get into a Chevy Malibu. I was like, oh my God, like I fit in this car. Like, this is awesome. So much room. Yeah.
Look, I feel like every episode we talk about growth and we talk about talking about just growth through our cars this episode.
No, one thing, I almost didn't get the car because my insurance told me it was going to be $400 a month to insure it.
Jesus.
And I'm like, how? Like, what sense does that make? Like, that's twice as much as what the bummy fucking Pontiac was. I was paying for that. And I was going to be like, well, I can't get a car. And the guy's like, you ever try going with a different insurance? Because I just was on the one that I'd been insured since I was a teenager. Yeah, yeah. And then eventually branched out on my own. Once I got on my own insurance, that's when they started charging me an ass load. And I never got a discount. Or I got like the every 6 months, I got a bit of a discount.
Yeah.
But then I was also making dog shit money back then, too.
I just learned the difference between insurance prices in New Jersey and Kentucky. It's insane. It's $30 cheaper in Kentucky than it is in New Jersey. I'm paying like $70 a month or something for insurance.
Oh, Jesus. And that's because you don't have a driving history like I do.
That's correct.
Yeah, because I had a one no-fault accident because I was backing up in a McDonald's parking lot the day before my 25th birthday, and a lady was also backing out of her spot, and we like collided. And she claims she was pulling out of the drive-thru, and I backed into her, but I dragged along the side of her car and it knocked my mirror off. So it wouldn't make any kind of physical sense that she said she was pulling through and tried to speed up to get away from me. I was like, if you sped up, I wouldn't have touched you. So obviously she was lying. But that happened too in that same Pontiac where I was doing a 3-point turn in someone's driveway because I'd missed my turn during a delivery. Mm-hmm. As I was waiting for traffic to clear to back out, the lady that lived there backed into me, like trying to back out of her driveway. She just hit me in her driveway. And then I told the cop, mistakenly, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to file a claim against it. And he's like, okay, well, here's the paperwork. A week later, I get a phone call saying that she filed a claim against my insurance saying I hit her. So I was like, all right, I was going to be cool about it. You won't be petty, I'll be petty. So I did all my research about it. And they tell you, and they're like, last question is like, who do you think was at fault? I was like, I believe she's at fault because unless I was wrong in my research, there's no law in Indiana that protects you in your own driveway, which there isn't. So she backed into me and then tried to file an insurance claim against me. And then her insurance was like, and I had no damage on my car either. I had like a scrape on the bumper.
So we're getting a little long, but speaking of things that happen in your own driveway, I feel like we got to sneak it in. The time you and I were in the car and got pulled over in my parents' driveway.
That's right. We were at a choir Jesus concert Christ. For your sister. She was in middle school at the time.
Yes.
So we're at a middle school choir concert. We see her and she comes out there. And
like my parents were out, or like I think my parents were coming from work or something and going straight there. So yeah. You and I were like, oh yeah, we'll take her to the concert.
No, we didn't take her there. We went there.
Yeah.
And we saw her there. Like, we showed up and she comes out and finds us and goes, oh my God, I need you guys to run home and get my black slacks. Like, I need them for the performance. We're like, okay. Like, where are they? She's like, it's in the hanger on my door.
Hanging on the back. Like, she had one of those, like, hamper things.
So we're like, okay. We hop in the car. Brandon's flying down these country roads. This thing starts in 8 minutes and we've got a 4-minute drive
Legitimately, it was like, it probably 15 minutes from curtains up. Like,
Okay. But literally, but it's 15 minutes where
from her school.
Yeah, 10 minute drive, 10 minute back. So we're flying. He, I guess, blew a stop sign.
I slowed down and kind of rolled through a stop sign crossing a highway. Because, like, you can see down the highway before you get to the corner. So I saw no one was coming. So I was like, screw it. I got there. I was like, slow down.
It's also, it's not quite a highway. It's the entrance to a highway.
It's Indiana State Road 2. It's a highway.
Yeah, but at the point we were at, it was, you're going through the city still.
I mean, it's two lanes in each direction. So it's a highway. Anyway, flew through that, zigzagged over across onto my parents' street. Pulled into my driveway, and that's the point we see the lights come on behind us and a cop car pull in.
Yeah, so we got pulled over in the driveway. He was like, can my friend go inside? We need to get something for my sister.
I was literally flushed. I wasn't even worried about the being pulled over. My whole focus was on getting my sister her slacks.
And it's like, we need to get it. And he's like, yeah, just hold on 1 minute. And I think you did get a ticket for it.
No. He totally let me go. Because we were going through this thing. I was like, yep. I was like, I explained the whole situation. I was like, my sister, she's at LaSalle. She's at the choir concert. She forgot her pants. Like, I need to get them. I just got to grab them and get them back to her before she starts. And eventually, he's like, all right, just drive careful. He's like, I don't want to see you going that fast and speeding through on the way back. I was like, all right, you got it. So, like, he let me go. He ran it. He saw my record was clear from there. He ran it. He leaves. We run inside. We get to the hamper on the back. We find the black slacks in the hamper. Run back to the car. I swear to God, we made it just as fast back. Like, we made it back to the school in 5 minutes.
And we had like 2 minutes to showtime or whatever.
Maybe.
Or 2 minutes to curtain. We get inside. She's sitting there by the bathroom waiting on us. We run up so fucking triumphant. It's like, so we made it. We hand her the pants. We hand her black slacks. And she goes, what are these? We go, they're your black slacks.
Who the hell?
She goes.
She goes, no, I need my black flats, my shoes, and on the back of the door.
She's like, who calls them slacks?
She looked at
a fucking 13-year-old kid. Yeah, why would a kid call them slacks? A 13-year-old girl.
Also, what are the chances, though, that she also had a black pair of shoes and pants in the back of her door? Like, come on.
Yeah, she had black dress pants on the back. And so she had to borrow a pair of black sandals from an old lady.
Her black shoe. Anyway.
With like these big flowers on them because she was wearing white tennis shoes and she needed black shoes.
To this day, if you ever want to get my sister to laugh, just ask her where her black slacks are.
Around my feet.
That was a good wrap it up story about cars, kind of, and driveways. So. I think that's about it for today. This has been Wasted Information.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to keep up with the show, make sure to subscribe on Spotify, Google, iTunes, or wherever you go to for podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at WastedInfo or email us at wastedinfopod@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Wasted Information.